The station that lives by the motto, rock or vacate the chair.
Mr. Speaker!
So to speak.
I want to thank...
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
You know what you got to do. Fight the good fight every moment.
Joe Thomas in the morning and joining us now from the campaign trail now, I guess, as we watch, you know, folks trying to ramp towards June 18th and primary season in the Commonwealth, just through on a barnstorm in Scottsville and Appomattox and those areas. He is Virginia's 5th District Representative in Congress, Bob Good. Good morning, Bob. How are you, sir? Happy Good Friday.
Good morning, Joe. Great to be with you. Happy Good Friday to you as well.
I made this case, and we were just talking with the minister from Albemarle Baptist Church in the last segment, because, you know, he was talking about how people can, you know, draw hope and positivity out of the Easter weekend, because, you know, we get caught up in the politics and everything else. And I said, well, there's a lot of politics going on 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem as well. I know politics was unfortunately, you know, making people's lives worse than it was, the leadership of the temple, the Romans, and all of that. You know, there was a political aspect to what was going on that Passover week, Holy Week in Jerusalem. And then it manifested yesterday. And I have to ask you about this because, yes, I know President Trump was invited to Massapequa, Long Island, a town I know well, for the wake of Officer Diller. But, you know, how great a contrast in these two men that, you know, at the same time, President Biden can be holding a multi-million-dollar fundraiser with Presidents Clinton and Obama for, you know, the Sam Bankman-Fried crowd, you know, at Radio City Music Hall, while awake for a fallen police officer who was done in by, you know, a multiple repeat a felon offender. The contrast was just I was worried that they were so stark people would miss this message being slapped at us is this contrast of who these two men are.
It really is a contrast, Joe. And what you have seen repeated reports and testimonies is the difference between the two men on a personal level when they are engaged with individuals who have went through suffering or difficult situations. How many times have we gotten the reports from family members that when President Biden came to meet with them, he talked all about himself or all about his own family or tried to equate what they have went through with losing, you know, say, a Gold Star family, losing a family member to what he has suffered through with his family. And on the contrast, how law enforcement, first responders, military members, veterans, they recognize that President Trump understands and he connects with them on a personal level. One of the things after I had gotten elected and when I first had the chance to go visit with President Trump in Bedminster, New Jersey, with a number of my Republican Study Committee colleagues and some House Freedom Caucus members in a small gathering, I was taken back by how just what a wonderfully thoughtful, considerate, genuine, kind host that he was. You know, you see this public persona of sort of, you know, the blustery, you know, tough, sometimes abrasive, you know, style of the president as he's fighting for us, President Trump, as he's fighting for us. So you don't know how he might be on a personal level. And, you know, we're hiring him to do a job, so I don't really care that much if he's nice in a small group gathering. I'm hiring him to do a job, and he was doing it very well. But he is a wonderfully kind, thoughtful, considerate person when you meet with him on individually or in a small group setting like that. And I think that comes through when you can see his priorities, where he was, with that officer's family, you know, honoring the service and sacrifice of him as well as the 800,000 law enforcement officers across the country who have suffered under President Biden's policies like never mm-hmm. before. The police have been dishonored, diminished, threatened, quite frankly, harassed, abused in ways that we just couldn't imagine just a few years ago because of his president's policies, you know, telling police to stand down and they're not prosecuting violent felons and no cash bail and defunding the police. He and his Democrat colleagues are doing that and believing in that. And we've seen evidence of that multiple times over. So, yeah, what a contrast between two men.
Well, and also, you know, in this is so easy because politics becomes like a one or a zero in the computer coding world. But, you know, this is also a president who did remarkable things for criminal justice reform while he was in office, Right on Crime, the group out of Texas there, and I think part and parcel of why his support in the black community has quadrupled since 2016, Bob. Is that because, you know, it's easy to just go and say, hey, we're all for the police, and the police are always right, but he doesn't. He says, I want law and order, I want everything to be fair and just, and we have to be a just society. And unfortunately, the quick hit soundbite media misses, I think, some of that nuance.
I don't even know if they do miss it, Joe. I think it's deliberate refusal to recognize it. It's even worse than them missing it, so to speak. Exactly. Joe Biden's record, truly on as it applies to the legal system with the minority community, is far different than President Trump's. In President Trump's First Step Act, you know, believing in restorative justice, that we ought to have a restorative component to it, not just a punitive component. There is a punitive component that must be there to deter crime, obviously. But one sentences to fit appropriately to the situation. And so for many reasons, President Biden is suffering in the black community in the polls relative to what he has before because of his policies that have hurt the black community like no one else. And President Trump's policies help the black community. And so I think you're going to see a tremendous difference in November in the ballot box. The polls certainly indicate that. Matter of fact, on a personal level, I have a gentleman named Craig Scott, who happens to be a black gentleman who has been a campaign volunteer for me for almost 3 years now. And he was one who got a really severe sentence as a first-time offender, and served 26 years, bank robbery, 26 years, was sentenced to 50 years on first-time offender. And it was through President Trump's policies that he got released after 26 years, and he recognized the fallacy of the Democrat Party, who wants to, you know, keep the black community, you know, beholden to them, victims, you know, caters to them for votes, but really does nothing to help them, actually does things to hurt them, undermining the family, promoting dependency, generational poverty and those sorts of things, telling them that they're victims and they can't succeed without the government and that, you know, the country's a systemically racist and there's oppressors and there's victims based on race and CRT and DEI programs and all this. But this gentleman, you know, is wonderfully grateful to President Trump. We got connected on the campaign trail through some mutual friends and he's become one of my most faithful supporters, Craig Scott. Folks could web search him and they'd see some great information about him.
Well, thank you for sharing his story. We'll have to reach out because that is, unfortunately, what we've seen. We're talking about this year.
Great guest on your show. Share his personal story.
60 years now, Bob, since the Great Society was created, and look what it's wrought. Four times as many people as a percentage of population living under the poverty line, and that's just the top line poll result of that. Talk about that, you know, in terms of the economics, getting the value of our dollar back. We're all buying 40% less stuff because our dollars are worth 40% less. Most of us aren't making more, so we're buying less. And that's going to continue to have, you're a financial guy, that's going to continue to have ripple effects through the economy the way 2007, 2008, 2009 did, isn't it?
Yes, and to what you said a moment ago, the quote, War on Poverty by LBJ, President Johnson, trillions spent, and yet the minority community, the black community, is much worse off than they were before it began. They have successfully broken down the family, destroyed the family, removed fathers from homes, have made no difference on poverty in our country, and in fact have worsened, have created generational poverty. But what they did until President Trump starting to break it here was create a reliable voting bloc of those dependent on the government, being told they cannot succeed apart from the government. But yes, these economic policies, Bidenomics, you know, they stopped using the term because That was the thing they wanted. They felt that Bidenomics was going to be a great term for them, and they were using it, you know, consistently, relentlessly for a while, and they realized that the polling numbers on it are terribly low. And, you know, the American people are truly suffering, especially the ones who Democrats and Biden purport to want to help are the ones suffering most. You know, rising gas prices doesn't help the wealthy guy. Of course, the wealthy guy tends to vote Democrat now as they become the party of the elitist. But it hurts the low-income folks. It hurts the senior citizens and the college students starting out, young people trying to get started. Same thing with grocery prices, which are up, 30-40%, as you noted, since this president took office. Gas prices up somewhere in the range of 50% since this president took office. Mortgages up 60% since this president took office. That's just killing the American dream. American dream is to own a home. If you can't afford a home, rent prices are through the roof, over $2,000 average in this country. You've got utility prices are up because of the president's anti-energy policies, his climate extremism. And the spending, the inflationary spending, the borrowing spending, to your point, that is causing our credit as a nation to go down, causing the dollar to be devalued. The average family, again, it cost them about $1,000 a month more just for the basics and the essentials than they were paying when this president got into office. So they're suffering, and no matter, no spin, no nuance can change how the American people are being impacted by these policies. And even then, the number one policy is the border invasion. The polls indicate over and over, the number one policy is the border invasion. Right behind it is the economy and inflation and the suffering in the pocketbook for the people. But rising crime. Go ahead.
Well, I think they're connected. I think, you know, when you see, and I brought up this Moreno guy, the Venezuelan YouTuber or TikToker that, you know, made headlines this week, and everyone's mad at him. I said it's going to come across sounding bad, but I'm glad we know about him. I want videos of this guy run all the time, every day, to show you what the world thinks of our policies, and maybe we'll wake up like a slap in the face, that old Aquavelva commercial, to see this fella's attitude towards, you know, what we're told is compassion, and we're being laughed at, and maybe now we'll try to get some common sense on the budget, on the border, Bob. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen this guy's videos. You know, do you agree with me that it's good that he's out there and he needs to be shown to everyone?
I do think it is. It reminds me of the fella in New York who was just flipping off the cameras, the illegal, after he'd been, you know, apprehended and then released, or I guess arrested and then released, just flipping off the cameras, making fun of our system. You know, President Trump has often said, you know, how stupid we are with the policies that we have, and we're the laughing stock of the world under this president, particularly the illegals who are invading our country. You know, I had the privilege yesterday of speaking to Amelia Kent in the middle of our 11 stops. I'm working one stop to West Virginia to help my friend Alex Mooney running for Senate, U.S. Senate, that made 12. And then I also spoke to all the government's high school seniors, government students at the Amelia County High School, and got a chance to talk to those kids and said, you know, we're a country that many places around the world, rather, their countries keep their people in. They lock them in. They won't let them leave. You don't leave communist China without permission from the government. Mm-hmm. And here we are as a country where we're struggling to try to keep people out. Obviously, the president is fighting our efforts to do that. We saw the illegal alien mob bum rush Border Patrol, you know, last week in a way that we've not seen before. And this president doesn't care about that. He cares about Texas trying to stop them from coming in. He thinks, and his spokesperson, what did she say? She said it was Texas's fault.
Yeah.
That these hundreds of individuals overran border personnel and said, we're coming to your country, dare to stop us. Who and what are we with that? How are we a country when people from around the world can just say, we're coming? And you saw the video. These were military-age men. These weren't little children and families. Yeah. These were military-age men who violently forced their way into our country. What is going to be the response of the Biden administration? We fear we know what the response is, which is to try to be more generous so they don't feel like they have to rush their way in, which is certainly this president's policies.
Well, and as a friend of mine said, as this guy's video started to become news, he said, we've got homeless vets who can't get anything to eat,
right,
living on the streets, and this guy's got you know, wads of cash and fake Social Security cards. And I mean, we should be mad about that. Bob, I appreciate it, sir. And I know you've got a busy weekend, and thank you for obviously doing that. I just implore you, you know, as a representative of my listeners, we found out last Friday after you were on with us, the FDA admitted that they had been wrong. I guess that's the closest you'll get to a government bureaucracy admitting it was lying about ivermectin and its treatments of COVID-19. Please hold the fire or to the feet of the people who are investigating this tragic boat crash in Baltimore and any place, so that we don't go through this again, because so many of my listeners have just started to completely distrust anything in the system. And I worry, because the system also includes the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And I don't want the proverbial baby going out with the bathwater on that. So please, you know, hold the NTSB accountable to find out what happened with this ship. And in full transparency, so we don't go through a similar thing that we went through with COVID, where the government's kind of just telling us what they want us to think. And that's just my request to you, you know, going forward, Bob. I hope you can
thank you, Joe. Well said. And, well said.
Have a great Easter.
Happy Resurrection Weekend, my friend. Thank you. God bless.
434-964-1075. Joe Thomas in the Morning. Last Licks coming up next.
All the news, weather, and traffic you need, anytime, all day, every day, being tuned in at Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.